Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ. Today on the Sunday of All Saints Sunday, our message is entitled, In His Arms Forever. Special Sunday, special sermon. Unlike usually Sunday after Sunday, you'll find no sermon outline in your bulletin, so don't be looking for it there. Need to welcome people in. It's okay to come late. On this All Saints Sunday, we have a very special treat. It's especially a good treat for me because you get to listen to somebody else bring the message. Woohoo! I look forward to that. I have to listen to myself Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Before I tell you who that person is, I would remind you that according to the Bible, a saint is a forgiven sinner of God through their faith in Jesus Christ their Lord. Whether that person is still on this earth or it already has been taken to glory. And today, one of God's earthly saints, a jumbo-sized saint, when he stands next to me, will share a message about his sainted wife who has preceded him into heaven. How fitting it is that on this one Sunday of the church year, when we particularly pause to remember and thank God for those who have gone before us, that this will happen. This morning, our dear brother in Christ, Alan Schellenberg, will share a testimony about his first wife, Mary. There are a good number of you longtime members, aren't there, who remember Mary. I've already assured our brother Alan that if he has to shed a tear or pause for a moment to compose himself, we'll understand. We love you. We love your family. As Alan speaks, keep in mind this passage from Romans 15, verse 13. It tells us of the true hope we have in Christ. Listen carefully. St. Paul writes, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I invite Alan to come to the lectern.
I thought for sure, Pastor, as you did the children's message, you were going to say that the Yankees actually won the World Series. But you didn't go that far. When the pastor first asked if I would share my story this morning, and as I was thinking about that and deciding what to do, I thought about this word story, and it was really bothering me. Because I was a bit afraid that once I share what I'm about to share with you, that it would just get thrown in with all the other stories that you've heard, works of fiction or fantasy. And that was upsetting me a bit. So, and if I thought I would try to qualify that by calling it a true story, which we do. Because there's not a good word for something that's a true story. We have to say true story. There's no other word for it. And then this morning, as the pastor introduced me, I was pleased to hear him say I was going to share my testimony. And we all know what a testimony is. A testimony is something that you do when you go to court and you have to tell the truth as you've witnessed it yourself. And so as I share with you this morning, I'll be sharing my testimony. And I would ask that should you repeat this testimony to anyone, that you call it a testimony and not a story. Let me begin by just sharing a little bit about my job. I work as a gift coordinator for Lutheran Foundation Canada. And part of my job is meeting with individuals. Oftentimes these people are getting older and they want to prepare an estate plan and make sure their will is in order and all those things. But some of those people aren't just getting older. They've actually had a recent meeting with their doctor and they've been diagnosed with a terminal disease. And they've been told that their days are numbered and that the number isn't large. And so I have to meet with them as they worry about their estate plan. And it's wonderful for me to not hear despair in their voice, to not hear frustration, but instead what they share with me is the joy that they have through Christ, that they have their faith, of all the many blessings that they've received throughout their lifetime, and how they can look forward to being with their Father in heaven. Looking at Galatians 5:5, we can read, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." What a testament to their faith as they speak of this hope, that through Christ they will have been made righteous. And when they pass through the gates of heaven, regardless of what sickness they've been dealing with, they will once again be perfect in mind, body, and soul. A few months ago, I had occasion to visit a dear friend of mine, Evelyn Tweedy. And as many of you know, Evelyn had been diagnosed with cancer. She was receiving treatment at the Centennial Pavilion at Vancouver General Hospital. I had no occasion to go to Centennial Pavilion since my wife's passing in 2001. And as the pastor said, many of you knew Mary. You knew the long battle that she had. It was 3 years. And in that first year, I think she had a total of 6 months in Vancouver General. And most of that time was on the very floor that I had to go visit you, Evelyn. I wasn't really looking forward to the visit. On the other hand, I knew that I needed to go see Evelyn and let her know that I cared for her and loved her and needed to share that with her. The testimony that I want to share with you this morning is something that happened on the very floor that I had to go visit Evelyn. In fact, after that visit, I thought more and more about that event, and I realized that I couldn't keep that story, that testimony, to myself anymore. And I needed to share that with people. And I write an article for Tapestry Magazine. Some of the women from LWML, they read that magazine, so you might have already read this testimony. But that's okay. I'll still share it with you this morning. As I did every day after work, I went to the hospital to visit with Mary, and I found her in bed, peaceful, really staring at nothing. Now, some days she would experience quite significant pain. Other days were better. And so usually my first question when I arrived was, "How was your day today?" This time, she gave me an odd look, continued to stare at the foot of the bed, and said, "I'm doing just fine." I could tell right away that the answer was off. There was something funny about it. I said, "Mary, tell me what happened." She said, "I can't tell you. You won't believe me." Well, this made no sense. I said, "What do you mean I won't believe you?" "So I'm not even sure what to tell you." "What are you talking about?" So I kept bugging her, of course, as you know that I would do. And then she finally said, "Okay." As it turned out, earlier in the day, it was quite a bad day, and she was experiencing quite significant pain. In fact, the doctor had decided that she needed a CT scan. So what they had done is called a porter to come with a wheelchair to take her down for the test. She had the test, and they put her outside in the hall, and they said, the porter will be by in a short time to take you back to your room. And so she waited. She waited for an hour until the pain was so bad that she had to call for help. And then finally a porter came and took her back to her room. They had forgotten about her, of course. The pain continued, and so she prayed, she said. She said she prayed like she'd never prayed before, telling God that she couldn't take it anymore, and that she was going to put her life in His hands. She prayed and asked God for His help as she fought the cancer, knowing that God would hear her every word and that He would answer her in some way. Alan, she said, there are no words that I can say that will adequately describe what happened next. After a few minutes of prayer, I had this most unimaginable sense of calm and peace and warmth. It was like someone put their arms around me. It was so incredible. Mary, I said, that's so wonderful. And she said, but Ellen, that's not all. I opened my eyes, and standing right beside my bed was an angel. I don't know how I knew it was an angel, but it was. I can't even describe him to you. He was dressed in white. I don't know if it was a him or not. It was an angel. I don't know what he was dressed in. I couldn't tell you that. But I knew it was an angel. And he smiled at me, and then he was gone. But I knew I was going to be all right. I knew that God would be with me regardless of what happened. And if I were to die from the cancer, I knew that He would hold me in His arms forever. As you can imagine, I wanted to hear more about this angel. So, after bugging her a little bit, she made a few more attempts at trying to describe this angel to me, and then finally said in exasperation, Alan, you have no idea what it was like. There are no words in the English language for me to describe to you how I felt or what I saw. And didn't I tell you you wouldn't believe me? But I'm telling you, I know it was an angel. Now, whether or not you think that she saw an angel really doesn't matter. I believe her. And I can testify to all of you here today, and I think there's people among us here today that will testify with me and agree with me that Mary's faith continued to grow and it strengthened her hope and trust in God. Even during her last stay in the palliative ward, every day that she was able, she visited other patients. She shared her faith and offered patients Christ's comfort and hope. The verse that the pastor read, Romans 15:13, I'd like to read that to you again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This speaks directly to what Mary experienced. I want to read it again for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This verse and that earlier verse I read from Galatians speaks of the very hope that to which Mary clung. It's important that we understand the hope that is spoken of in these verses. It's a very different kind of hope than what we normally think of in the English language. It's not a hope that, well, it's something wished for, or if things work out. No, not this hope. This hope speaks of an assured promise from God that with all certainty, through faith, we will one day be with him in heaven. And because Mary believed, and because she held on to this hope, even in the midst of fighting cancer for another 2 years, and while I could see her body getting weaker and weaker over this time, I could see her faith growing stronger and stronger as she continued to experience the joy and the peace spoken of in these verses. God truly had answered her prayer. Even on her last day in the palliative ward in Richmond General, whenever she was able, she would roam the halls, meet with other patients, and share her faith and the hope and the promise that she has through Christ, and that one day she would be with her Father for all eternity in heaven. And not surprisingly, it was this same hope I again witnessed at Vancouver General when I sat with you, Evelyn. I came to tell you that I loved you and that I cared for you. You wanted to use the opportunity to say, yes, you've been diagnosed with cancer, but that has not defeated you. It's not a pronouncement of death. Instead, you wanted to talk about your faith and the hope that you have through Christ, and that if you are ending up with your Father in heaven sooner than you had planned, that's okay. What a blessing to hear that message. I thank God for this message of hope that we read about and that I hear so often from Christians, a confident expectation shared by their blessed saints on earth as they anticipate their own final journey into heaven. Praise be to God.
I can think of no better way to end Alan's testimony than to join together in that ancient litany of the earliest Christian church, the litany used on that first Easter Sunday, and that litany in response that was used for 2,000 years since. We say it every Easter morning. So I will say to you, Christ is risen. Oh, you didn't even give me a chance. Way to go. I will say Christ is risen. You'll respond, he is risen indeed. We'll do it three times, each time increasing in volume. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Blessed All Saints Sunday to each of us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.